was grabbing river. Half this ran to the ruler came with a cooler name. Made you dance and prance and drove the fans insane. Name is Run, my son. Number one for fun. Not a gun that's done and get done by none. The other acting fact is just whack, I kill.
What?
It's Run, my son, and Run heads the bill. Who's half?
DMC Run's House. Particularly fun selection for this episode, partly because we had some technical difficulties getting this one together, and I just wanted something that was uplifting and fun, and it was just kind of relevant to the conversation that we had, which was partly about the cross hairs or the cross points of hip hop and comedy. And because Marty's back, and as you'll hear in our conversation, strangely obsessed with some 90s nostalgia stuff. So I figured, what better place to get all nostalgic than with a classic track from Run DMC. Good one, quick one today. So hope you enjoy it, and I'll see you on the other side.
So strong and make them come along. Come in the door, get on the floor. Hard rock, hard hitting, hip hop, hardcore. Causing casualties and catastrophes and tragedies for the sucking seat. Using strategies to get the best of me. You dirty rat MCs, whoever you may be. You need to go down south, you need to shut your mouth. It's all about, no doubt, just shout, cause we're turning out.
Well, it's easier to get me back.
Yeah, I gotta wait for Lauren to be done with festivals.
Yeah.
I mean, she's gonna be. I've already asked her to be on the live.
Sick.
I was just like, this will help.
Yeah.
Not waste your time.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Well, who knows?
Yeah. Assuming we have an audience.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I mean.
So, right. I'm trying to push for getting Tickets House started.
Mm-hmm.
I find the thing that I struggle with the most is starting these things. Okay. So I want to try something.
Mm-hmm.
I found out a fun fact today, and I'm going to throw it at you.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see if it runs us down any interesting paths for just this chatty bit up the top. So yeah. I found out today, Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Yeah,
Huey, are we Dewey recording right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, we are recording okay, right now. Right, Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Mm-hmm.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie. The reason that they have Donald Duck as their legal guardian,
right,
is that a prank that they pulled on their father, which involved putting fireworks under a chair.
What, killed him?
Well, I don't think it's implicitly stated that it killed him.
Jeepers.
But at the very least,
but where does it say,
maimed him.
But where does it say this?
This is like in the canon of the comics somewhere. And that's okay. Why they're living with their uncle. I think the implication that it's supposed to be a short-term thing, but of course, like in that Bart Simpson's supposed to be 30.
Yeah, right.
It just time says, for cartoon okay. characters is eternal.
That's dark.
That is dark, isn't it?
Didn't realise.
I thought it was amazing. I thought it was such an interesting thing.
They're like, oh, we need a backstory as to why these kids are with them.
Yeah, because they're young pranksters, yeah. And they're like, this will set up their character.
They made a fireworks one that went the wrong way.
They went completely awry.
Okay. That's insane. Okay, cool. Fair enough.
See, I don't know how to...
Who's, Is that Warner Brothers or Disney?
That's Disney, which for Disney is quite dark.
Yeah, but makes sense because
why?
Wasn't there a lot of isn't he crazy? Like, wasn't there a lot of backstory
Walt,
to
Walt, old Walt? He was very sexist.
Like, isn't there a lot of backstory of things that are crazy and got to connected with Disney?
I can't directly recall anything like that. I know there's a lot of really just old timey. Ideals and fashions and
racism and sexism and stuff like that.
Yeah, that sort of stuff. So, like, in that capacity, sure. Crazy.
Okay.
Like,
but not like
modern standards.
Guy fireworks his parents.
Yeah, I don't think Walt was ever dreaming of setting up fireworks under his parents.
Well,
and just seeing where life took him after that. He had an errant uncle that he was really keen on living with.
He's like, that guy's got a money vault.
Yeah, well, that's Scrooge. Him later. Donald was just a sailor.
Oh, are they living with
Donald's their legal guardian.
Oh, I didn't realise.
And then later down the track, Scrooge comes into it. And in DuckTales, they seem to be living with Scrooge.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the implication is that Donald went away to some kind of war.
Ah.
He was, I don't know, because he's a sailor, so it's got to be some kind of...
I do recall scenes
of him, like, returning...
Right.
With the old sailor's bag slung over his shoulder. So he has to have been on active duty.
Because I don't remember them three ever living with
Donald. Anyone else? Yeah, well, that was
I only remember Scrooge.
Their long-term history was with Donald.
Oh, okay. I only remember Scrooge.
And, I mean, like, because they wanted that dynamic. Because Donald was a bachelor dating Daisy, and they weren't living together. And so, you don't want a creepy single father. Like, the implication of not having... Of him having a relationship outside of Daisy is sort of risque for Disney. So, they're just like, they blew up their dad.
As opposed to, these are his kids from somewhere else? Oh, okay, right.
So, that's a much safer option. They just blew him up. It's a slight maiming.
Rascally rabbits.
Rabbits.
The ducks.
The Despicable Ducks.
The Despicable Ducks.
Yeah.
That's cool. Crazy. Them Disneys?
They got a strange overall vibe of the world. The world that they create is really weird.
Yeah.
The more you overanalyze it.
Yeah.
I think that's the key.
That's funny. And the whole no pants thing.
Well, Mickey had pants.
Mickey did have shorts on.
Yeah.
Overalls.
Yeah.
I just bought myself a pair of overalls.
Why?
Bringing them back.
Are you?
I am. I'm going to try.
You're not six.
No. But I am stuck in 90s hip-hop land. So, it fits my... fits where I live. In my head, it's 94.
That's your wheelhouse? there's this... terrible remix of Montel Jordan in the rotation of music at work.
Yeah.
It makes me really sad.
It's a dance famous. It's the worst deal. Yeah. But even, not worse, but just as bad, there's a remix of Brandy and Monica's Boy Is Mine that's floating around.
That makes me sad.
Also on the radio. So, stop ruining good songs.
Yeah, just why? They work. Leave them as a successful unit.
Yeah.
That's upsetting.
Did you not see my photo with overalls on?
I did not. No, I missed that one.
It broke the internet. It broke the internet.
Well, that's probably why I didn't see it. Internet was broken at the time.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah. It makes it hard to, for a thing to go viral when you break the internet. Yeah,
it broke the internet.
Where were you? Where were you that you felt...
No, I saw them online. I was just shopping online. I went, yep.
So you don't even know if they're going to...
No, they've come.
...contour to your body well.
They've come. Yeah, they've come. They fit fine.
They fit fine. Well, I mean, overall, my body could be over all. So I guess that isn't like the key.
My body's not in great shape. So it's not the overall's fault. Let's not put this on the overalls. Like, they're doing what they can.
The overalls are not the onesie or the jumpsuit.
No. But they're cool. I like them. I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to wear them shirtless with one strap down.
Are you looking to get arrested?
And they'll be like, hey.
Pedophilia charges?
I won't look like pedophilia. I'll look like Snow from the hit Informer.
Are you looking to get beaten up?
I'll take him.
No.
I'll look like the Fresh Prince.
And no, you won't, though. Because he was fresh.
People always say, you're very Will Smith.
Did
they? Did you?
No. Severe lack of melanin. Like, this is coming from me.
I'm getting a 10.
So am I.
Yeah, that's true. Your 10 goes weird, though.
It goes where the sleeves go.
That's true.
It works within the confines of what I allow it. Because you're going to have, if you go as desired, sure, you're going to have a tanned nipple.
One side.
Just one diagonal tanned nipple. That nobody is going to understand or appreciate.
If they ever see me topless.
Which you are forcing on them.
No, like, if they ever see me completely topless, they'll see the tan line. Like, but if they only ever see me with the overalls, like they'll be like, oh, he's just got a complete tan.
They can probably just picture it.
But I don't know. That it looks like...
Well, I'm sure it's not skin tight.
It's not skin tight.
So I'm sure...
There'll be a bit of angles. Yeah.
A bit of side flesh.
How long has that guy been wearing those overalls?
Weeks. Weeks. He never takes them off. Some say he even showers in them, just fills them like a bucket. Does handstands to wash his own head.
I would do that.
You would do that?
Yeah.
You would do that.
I would do that. So there's my life.
That's your life. That's what you've been doing since you were last here, looking at overalls.
That's right. Bought myself a pair of overalls. I'm good to go.
Good O. Good O. Summer has been treating you well.
No, I haven't worn them out yet.
No, then rightly so.
No, not because of that, because I just got them and I haven't had an occasion to.
They're more of a hanger in the wardrobe and look at them and go, regret.
They're not 70s overalls, they're current overalls.
Any overalls are regretful overalls.
You don't know about swag. You don't know about swag.
I do. I do.
Swag 101. Wear sick overalls.
That is, you're reading the wrong swag text manual. You got to get the updated version. Swag beta 2.0.
You know what we said about overalls in Swag 101? Forget it.
Yeah, and we did. We all forgot them. And it was right. Everyone was better for it.
Better left in the past.
Yeah.
I am the... This is how we do it remix.
See, that's the problem. Yeah. That is the problem.
Should have just left it in the past and left it alone.
It was fine when it happened.
I had to remix it.
And now you've gone and made a terrible error.
Also bought Adidas Superstars.
See, you're just compounding.
No, Adidas Superstars are cool. Come on.
I don't know that they are.
The what? You know, do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
The... Run-DMC shoes. The shoes with the three stripes on the side and the shell toed Adidas. Just the classic sort of Run-DMC Adidas sneaker.
Sure.
That's nice.
I'm better with those. That's a better choice.
Yeah. That's
fine.
I'm going to wear them with the...
Because you've just stepped out of a time machine. Is that the look that you're going for?
Yeah, basically. Hey. I'm dope and fresh.
Just still proclaim that Bill Cosby is fine.
Yeah, that's right.
Come out doing a bunch of Fat Albert references. Yeah.
Look at him, Marty. He's stuck in 92. What up, player?
You're gonna get like a... Oh, what is it called? The haircut.
Flat top. High yeah, top. Yeah. High top fade. I wish, but my hair doesn't behave like that.
Doesn't
but,
yeah. allow?
No.
You've got to control it. You've got to take a mastery of that stuff.
I wish. High top fade. So I'm thinking of getting a fluoro cap and wearing it with the front flicked up.
You know, you won't have any more friends if you do that.
Well, I'll make a whole bunch of friends that you don't really want.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll accidentally discover a secret rave scene. Like, there's still people from PhD days dancing out there, and they're like, this guy, he gets it. They'll give you one of the hoodies. We'll see you only at sunrise and sunset. But in the reverse order of what you would expect.
What have you been doing?
What have I been doing? It's all comedy festival prep.
Oh yeah.
Festival prep.
Why, what's happening there? See what I did there?
I do see.
Yeah, because I'm involved, that's why that's funny.
That's mostly what that's going on. I've got to get a few gonna line up lots of gigs and just sort of get ready for that. Just get myself stage ready for emceeing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And organize people. Mm. Organize guests. Get out there and see who's doing particularly well. If the people I think are funny are still funny.
You should try and get Jerry Seinfeld.
I should. Oh, yeah. That's. I've heard good things. Look, I've emailed his people.
Yeah.
Yet to hear back from
him.
He's
pretty easy to get, I've heard. He
does pop up everywhere. Like, he's sort of all over the internet. You know, once you get to the internet, it's sort of like.
I mean, if he's doing YouTube, it's yeah, how big could he be? You know
what
I mean?
His career, so it must be in decline. So I'm sure I can swing it. We'll try and get him for the last night.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Help him out.
He could pop up anyway.
Yeah, you should come to every night just in case Jerry's not on. You should get a female comedian that I have not heard their bits. I've just heard their name flying around.
Mm-hmm.
Louise C.K.
Yeah. I've seen.
That's all I know.
Seen her name around.
Yeah, that's all I know. I've heard good things. I don't know.
No, they're supposed to be doing quite well for themselves.
She sounds lovely.
I believe they got a TV show.
Yeah.
Spelt her name wrong, though.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing. Good times. See, the experiment was if I start the show on an obscure or fun fact and just see where that takes us. Which, it landed us in a fairly decent place. It got us at least 10 minutes in.
Took us to overalls.
It took us to overalls, which I think I regret.
Success,
I regret. So maybe this was a failed experiment.
You know what? I'm going to wear them every night of our live podcast.
Every night. Fortunately, it will be a podcast where no audience shows up.
You know, one strap down every night.
That will violate our nude policy. No Facebook photos will be able to be posted.
That's right.
You'll destroy your free whole viral media.
Free the nipple. Free Marty's left nipple.
Just the one. Just the left.
Right nipple.
Like he had to physically go to his nipples. I was just waiting for you to do the L.
Yeah, no, I had to work out which strap I normally leave down, but it's the right hand.
So you said you haven't worn it yet.
I've tried them on.
You've
in
tried
my room.
It on, but you haven't worn it. So
no, not out yet.
Is there a?
I'm happy with the right side.
The one that you're planning on.
I feel like I'm happy with the right nipple's a strong nipple.
The right nip.
Yeah.
Why is it? Is this a? A side thing. This is you get my best side, get my best nipple.
Yeah,
my best.
Yeah. My right nipple stronger.
Presenting. Yeah. You're gonna do push-ups on the one.
Yeah, that's right. My right side's pretty buff.
Developed pec. That's it. And the other one fades due to entropy.
We're going to put the photo of me up in my overalls, and you can decide.
And you can decide that I'm right.
You can decide how woeful they are.
On a scale of 1 to 10. 10 being
burn them.
10 being, what's the word I'm looking for here?
An abomination.
Well, abomination is would be along the right term. I'm looking for 10 being heinous.
Heinous. Yeah. King, king. How heinous are these guys?
Yeah, I mean, they're no.
SVU. And one being a misdemeanor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just. Fashion misdemeanor.
Fashion misdemeanor. We've all had our share of fashion misdemeanors. You know, like, that's possible. That's...
Yeah, that's one.
It's a learning curve for everyone. You go out, you're like, this will be great.
Are you ready for the backlash of, man, these overalls are dope?
I don't have to be. Like, it's just, it's backlash. Not going to be a problem.
It's gonna be really, like, what are you talking about, Matt?
It's really not a, for a couple of reasons. Because they're overalls. And because no one's going to interact with this. We'll do it, though. Pop it up on the Facebook.
Just for funny page.
Just for funny page.
Martin's overalls, just for funny. No, goddammit, I lied.
He was being sincere at the time.
Cool. What's our venue? Are we allowed to say that at this point or no?
Sure, yeah, that's all locked up. Luna Park. Oh, correct. Luna, yeah. In the room's called the Stardust Room, but it's in there.
The Ziggy? The Ziggy Stardust Room?
Ziggy Stardust Room.
R.I.P.
It'll be nice painted little like tribute. That.
And we have times?
8:30, Friday nights in the festival.
Okay.
Yeah. So 8:30 for about an hour, give or take. Doors will open about 8, you come in, have some drinks, and find a seat.
8:30 for four Fridays?
Four Fridays.
During the course of the festival.
Over the entire festival.
That sounds mad.
Yes, that's why we organised it.
Yes, it sounds like a good idea. Right. Can I get involved in this? I want to be able to
this. How do I get involved? Like a bad infomercial at this point.
Has this always happened to you? I mean, I'd go.
You'd go?
If I wasn't on.
That's good.
If I wasn't on, I'd go.
Yeah.
I'd be a patron.
The patron saint of patrons.
Patron saint of patrons. Patrick.
Patrick?
Yeah, pretty sure it's Patrick.
Patrick?
The Patrick the patron.
Patron instead of patrons? Is it because of the alliteration?
Yes.
Angels are lazy.
Or clever. Or whimsical.
No.
They went, hey, Patrick, you're like a patron.
I guess that's why Valentine is the patron saint of vaginas. For Valentine's Day. Vagina.
Is that a real thing, or are you just saying that?
I'm just saying
that. Okay. Because you know a lot of shit. I was like, oh my God, is this the greatest fact I've ever heard in my life? The Saint Valentine is the patron saint of vaginas?
It's a false rumor that I'm trying to spread.
Okay.
So if you could pick that up.
Okay, I will, yeah.
Something that I'd like, something that I've been aiming for is, in that vein, is one of my life goals is to create a word or phrase that catches in the popular vernacular.
Yeah.
I just want that. That'd be fun for me. And then it could be my epitaph.
What about, like, sit on it?
No, see, it's someone's got that one.
No, who says sit on it? Never heard of it. I just came up with that just then.
Just came up with it then.
I think it'll catch up.
Genius.
Sit on it. And then, like, you do thumbs up.
Do some thumbs up to imply that that's the thing that's they should sit on.
Yeah, that's right. What?
Genius. There's physical actions and some kind of lewd gesture all in one swift movement.
Sit on it. I'm going to bring sit on it back.
With the overalls.
I'm going to wear overalls.
You're going to mix and match your time periods. Your
genres and eras.
So you're like a patchwork clock of bad references.
Look at that guy dressed like a 90s hip hopper. Hey, sit on it. Okay, well, now I'm confused. No, I don't know what's going on.
So you effectively stepped out of a time machine from the 90s, but the person was
Well, that's right. Using if I was an adult in the 90s, yeah, I grew up with the Fonzie in those
references. But you wouldn't have been dressed funky fresh.
But in the 90s?
Yeah, but I don't know how many adults went around in their fluoro turned up caps and overalls.
Are you saying the Run DMC weren't adults? They were adults.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean they'd have to be older than that, I guess.
Yeah, they were a different sort of gentleman.
Okay, but also... Okay. That's true. Yeah, Russell Simmons... He has a book out. This is more hot cast conversation.
Okay.
But Russell Simmons has a book out called The Happy Vegan. And
it's one page. It says there isn't one.
Oh, wow. It says The Happy Vegan. And I've never been vegan, never even been vegetarian or anything. But such is my revere for Russell Simmons.
You've considered it?
I went, I'm going to buy this book. No. Well, yeah, I thought, I'm going to buy this book, see what he has to say about it. Yeah.
Is it
such is my reference for Russell Simmons.
Hang on, is it a written text or is it a cookbook?
No, it's just about...
Just about vegan lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And the benefits and stuff like that, yeah.
Right, right. No, see, that makes sense.
And I was just like, I'm going to give this a go. And I was like, what's wrong with me? Such is my reference for Russell Simmons and that. I'm like, hey, Uncle Rush says veganism. I'm going to give it a go.
That's how you start a cult.
Yeah, that's true too. So I was just like, wow. At this point, Run DMC could just come out and be like, so everyone has to, you know, and I'll be like, all right, cool.
It'd be Run VEG.
Run Veg. That's mad.
Did you read it? Did you get it? Did you actually go through with the, or was it just a thought, like a passing thought?
It's $15 on the Google Play Store.
Yeah.
And I have quite large phone bill at the moment.
Right, so it's still, you're still considering it.
And then I'm going to, for the next bill, I might get it.
Okay.
Just because I'm like, well, he's not... Well, this is how I see it. I'm like, well, he's not... He wouldn't have come from that. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He came from, like... So what... I want to hear why he was like, oh, this is a good idea.
Okay.
Like, it's all right. It's all well and good for me to meet some indie wanker from Collingwood telling me about veganism. I'm like, yeah, all right, cool. But I can see that that wasn't a huge leap in your lifestyle already. Do you know what I mean? Because you're already in the inner city eating herbs and stuff. But this guy's from Hollis, Queens. They're eating burgers and cookouts and stuff. And now he's vegan. It's like,
the
inner
city is the natural home of herbs. It's where, it's where you will find them. Community in gardens. The wild. Yeah.
Community gardens. But yeah, I just went, I want to see how this happened. Because that's more of a leap.
So like, it's more of a transition.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, well,
from
what sold you on it?
Hip-hop superstar.
I may read it and go, oh, that's cool, but nah. But I also may read it and turn out to be me. So
prepare for a change.
So that could be interesting.
This could become the good vegan, bad vegan podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll be the bad vegan in that I'm not one.
Imagine if I was a vegan in my culture. Jesus.
I think your mum would kill you.
Yeah, my culture. Like, I could never eat at, like, a Easter or Christmas or birthdays or anything.
Yeah.
They'd be like, we're not making a vegan option. Guess like so.
Kebabs would be right out.
Yeah, that's right. My people are the people of kebabs. I'd be like, can I get a kebab with falafel? What's wrong with you?
They would look at you with disdain, shame you out of the store.
So it'd be interesting to see. But I just meant that so is my reverence for that era and that those people that I'm even considering it. Not reading it, but at least reading them.
Yeah. You're considering the potential for possibly going down the path. Big sacrifice.
Well, it is. Like, coming from where I'm coming from, yeah. That's even huge because I'm like an ardent meat lover. So,
aren't we all?
Love a bit of the meat. But yeah, so that's funny. Russell Simmons.
Get on it, people.
I'm not sure why we're plugging Russell Simmons' book. But
no, it's just a conversation.
Yeah.
It's a topic of conversation. That's good. That's what we can... It doesn't have to be all shits and giggles. It can be... it can be contemplation meanwhile, of serious I've heard life change.
Meanwhile, I've heard if you take up the vegan lifestyle, both your shits and giggles are a lot more regular.
they change consistency.
My giggles are regular, my shits though.
Just flow right out. Don't smell though. Apparently that's one of the benefits.
Really? Your shit don't stink? Well, is that why they all think their shit don't stink?
Apparently.
Seriously,
I don't know about your shit, but apparently farts don't stink.
Right. I guess healthier eating, yeah.
Like, I've not done any research to back that
Yeah, no, not around smelling vegan spots.
No, no, no.
Oh, I got another thing.
Yeah.
I saw a shopping list
mm.
that my sister had written quickly,
mm-hmm.
and it was magnesium, which I'm assuming is magnesium tablets.
I assume so, yeah.
Can opener.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
I don't think she put that on the list.
Magnesium can opener. Fuck.
It's a different kind of steel.
And then a third thing, mm-hmm. right?
Is the third thing imperative to this?
No. It's a, like magnesium can opener, let's say watermelon, right?
Right.
Magnesium
yep.
can opener, watermelon. And then I was like, how good is that for a name of a comedy show?
Magnesium can opener, watermelon. Or just magnesium can opener.
No, magnesium can opener, watermelon.
It's the three part structure. It's imperative for comedy. What? I mean, you'd stop. You'd, if it was a listing in a festival, you'd stop.
You'd be like, what?
And go, all right, sell me a case.
And then I come out and just do an hour of normal stand. Yeah. Never referencing the name.
Better be a damn good write-up, like a damn good bio yeah, for me to show up.
Because people will be like, so we went to see can opener,
magnesium can opener, watermelon.
Normal. Artistry. Pure artistry. 5 stars. That the whole sentence structure would make no sense. Magnesium can opener, watermelon, pure artistry. 5 stars. What's happening right now?
Is this a sentence?
Are you just saying things?
Did you have a stroke? The Times gives it 5 stars. In the strangest sentence I've ever read.
The magnesium and can opener was strong, but the watermelon could have been stronger.
Watermelon, I felt, it just wasn't solid, you know? It was just lacking a certain consistency. It was, if anything...
The seeds were there, but...
yeah, it just hadn't grown out. Felt like it just needed to germinate for a little while longer.
Was it right?
It just, if anything, it diluted the rest. Yeah, it's just...
I really want to know what the third was. Anyway, watermelon's good too.
Watermelon is a good go-to.
It's strange.
It's, you know...
Random enough. The word yeah, is random yeah, enough. Because it in itself is two words.
People's always... Well, not always, but it's one of those, like, on a list of what would be someone's safe word. It's always someone who says...
Safe word?
Watermelon or pineapple. It's in that.
My safe word would feel natural in that setting, though. Why would you say watermelon?
Why, what? Yeah, that's the point. No, you're supposed to say a word that's not going to come up in that setting.
Yeah, all right, but natural and not coming up. Like, you can still have a natural sounding word.
Yeah, but, you know, you've got
like, to... Like, Robitussin, like, it's not going to... Like, what?
Well, that's why you don't use magnesium.
But watermelon makes more sense.
Watermelon. Just, it's... Unless you're into fruit play, I'm not going to...
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not going to come up. You're going to be like, ah...
But it doesn't feel natural either.
But it's such not, a yeah, rare... that's the point.
Ah, because
it's a be, jarring and...
It has to be jarring. Okay.
There's a thing. Something. One of these things is not like the others.
Okay, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's better than it feeling natural, because then yeah, you're like, oh, maybe like, she's just enjoying it. Okay.
That's why no is never
yeah, that's right.
A safe word.
Nietzsche.
Nietzsche. Nihilism.
The slow descent of will.
Everything's meaningless. Oh. That's just part of the game.
Yeah,
that's too in.
Also, I do yell at our climax anyway. Everything is meaningless. What? Nothing, don't worry about it.
Here's a towel. Get out.
Nothing, don't worry about it. That's what I think. Why are you crying while saying everything is meaningless?
No reason. The hollowness of my own axe haunts me. Also, watermelon.
Just the entire sentence. I feel my legacy. I feel not leaving a legacy for people beyond me.
I feel like that had more potential. It started out so well. I feel the emptiness of not leaving a legacy in my wake.
Yeah, yeah.
Watermelon. I made myself sad.
I lost it.
Yeah, Yeah, it's supposed to be jarring. It's supposed to take you out of the moment enough that you stop and think and be like, maybe that one was too hard.
John Hamm.
John. No, that's going to work for 2 minutes.
Yeah, anymore. That's true. That's John Hamm,
that's how you know that the game has started.
Yeah, that's right.
So the safe word to stop, but it's the, I don't know, the unsafe word.
Yeah, it's the trigger word.
The go word. Phrase. John Hamm. Just leave a note in the doorway.
It's old.
Yeah. The ham is well done.
How good's John Hamm?
He's amazing.
Just on a side note.
So tangential. He's incredible in... You've got to see him in the... Have you ever watched Black Mirror?
No.
So, okay, you've got to watch some Black Mirror. It's Charlie Brooker's modern Twilight Zone, but sort of like why technology is bad. It's always why technology is bad. A TV series? Yeah. Like, there's been 2 seasons, but it's UK, so it's like 6 episodes.
Okay, yeah.
So it's easy to get through.
Mm-hmm.
But the Christmas special from the second season has John Hamm in it, and he's quite villainous, and it's incredible. He's just he's such a... I mean, not that he wasn't quite...
When's it from?
Last year.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
First season was like the year before.
Okay.
As does seasons work.
Post Don Draper?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. He was doing rounds for, like, on all the talk shows, and he had this big bushy beard.
Oh.
He was looking really unkempt. It's like a lot of them do that, actually. Like, the first thing Jon Stewart did and Colbert,
yeah,
they just were like, let this thing grow out.
Sick of shaving every day. Because we don't shave every day, but I'm sure when you're on TV, you have to shave every day.
I guess, like, yeah. Unless you decide that unkempt is your look. Yeah, you
could be. Well, Kimmel keeps...
It comes and goes with him.
But it keeps like a...
like a shadow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is probably still doing something to it every day, though.
True. Yeah. He's just more of a man than me. Me, personally. I can say, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I could do it nothing for a week. You'd be like, oh, you just shaved today. Yeah, like, no. Shaved like a week ago. Nothing comes out.
Yeah. That being said, I've been on set. And I guess it's because makeup artists are like right here. And I'm just doing background work, so it's really not that important.
But they're like,
but they've been like, you? Did you shave? I was like, yeah, yesterday. And they're like, well, it's today.
Oh,
like,
Jesus. Oh,
come on. I'm going to be 700 meters from the camera. You're really not going to see this.
And it's... one day worth of growth, like, Jesus.
Yeah. But when they're putting the makeup on, yeah, they're like right, they're inches close. From your face. So it's like a forest, I guess. I don't know. Relative perspective. No, and you can't say anything because you've got to get along with everyone. But some of them are nice about it. Some of them are just like, well, probably should have shaved this morning, but it's fine.
Are you gigging? Have you gigged
recently? First gig is coming up.
First gig for the new year?
Yeah.
Where's that one?
That'll be Comedy HQ this Thursday.
What's that? What's Comedy HQ?
It's good fun. Comedy HQ, so there's a place called Speakeasy HQ, and it runs in the city of Little Bourke. It's like a cabaret venue, and they do lots of different types of performance, different shows and stuff like that, and they run a comedy night, and they do a thing called Comedy Prize Fight, which they've done two seasons, two runs of
mm-hmm.
and that's more of like a knockout competition where the winner gets, I think, like $200 or something like
okay.
that. And I'm going to be in one of them as well in March, I think.
Oh, but they also just run a normal stand-up.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So they're regular night. It's actually a really fun room. They're usually a good audience, sort of chilled out. You know, cabaret, you know, people who know about a cabaret venue.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you're
so
like,
not, yeah.
I can have fun with you guys. Cool. And they've got a beautiful stage structure. They've sort of just made this rounded stage with like uplights and stuff. They're really building the place up.
That's cool.
And their staff are really super chill.
On what nights?
Thursday.
Okay.
Mm.
Cool.
And they've just come back. I think they've done maybe a couple this year, but I locked down the 21st. So I've got that. I'm going to start working on material for 2017 for Comedy Festival.
Yeah, right.
So that's all this year. That's what this year is. This year is the build towards
yeah.
the first Comedy Festival solo show. So that's my journey this year.
Mm.
So that should be interesting. I've got a lot of stuff sort of conceived.
Yeah, ideas.
And some of it's sort of written, and so I've got to gig as much as I can so I can workshop it all and just see what works and what lands and what.
Is it conceptual? What's the concept?
It doesn't have an overall conceit at this point. It's gone through about 4 iterations of conceits already.
Okay.
And they've all been rejected. Okay. And it's back
by
at...
By you.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And it's back at just being a good hour of stand-up.
Yeah.
Perhaps without a theme, because I've been writing a lot this year.
I've got a good name for it.
Go.
Magnesium can opener.
I don't know that it will fly.
Oh, wow. But for me, it was all right. I see how it is. Yeah. I see how it is.
No,
you don't mind if I burn and die?
No. That's fine.
Comedy fodder. More comedy fodder.
Yeah, yeah. Someone's got to go under the bus.
It's fine.
Jeez. I think at this point, I'm on my 4th working title. But at this point, the title is You Don't Know Who I Am.
You don't know who I am.
You don't know who I am. You don't know.
It's nice to start a comedy show with confrontation.
Yeah. You don't know.
Shut up, you.
Come out drunk.
You don't know me.
You don't know.
You should call it You Don't Know Me. You don't know me. And just like spell it all weird and shit.
One word.
Yeah, one.
You don't know me. How about that? Why?
Y-U-D-U-N-N-O. Me. You don't know me.
You don't know me. With an exclamation point at the end. You don't know me. No, I can't put an exclamation point if I want to turn it into a hashtag. Together I rule. It's just going to confuse people. What is this? You don't know me. It's very good. It's the first time reading that that's word, right. and he's got it down. Nah, I mean, that's where I'm at the moment. I don't know. It might change between now and then. Cool. If I come up with a particularly strong concept or joke that feels like it could be the title joke, or, you know, like the same way an album. Like,
yep.
They'll name it after the strongest song.
Yeah.
That's right. Unless it's a conceptual album.
Yeah, but you should do that, and then just. Well, I don't know how you name jokes, but mine are like one word, like bits of the joke, like just the one word in the joke.
Well, sometimes it's just the punch for me, and I'm just like, well, I can't. I'm gonna, and you try to space it around the concept, or around a couple of things in it, just whatever's gonna remind you, really.
Cool. My hour would have been called Shimmy. Shimmy pants off, like, you know.
Right.
Slinky pants. Slinky your pants off.
Yeah, that is.
Marty presents Slinky your pants off.
You mean you've got a slinky out of them? And your pants stay there like a solid structure of concrete. Yeah, I mean that. I don't know. That was the strongest. You feel like that was the.
Put it this way, I don't remember most of the last time I did an hour, because it was many years ago now.
It was a while ago,
About 5+ years ago. And but that bit, I remember off by heart, because it makes me laugh every time. Because I just slinky my pants up in front of the mirror sometimes, like, that was gold. Why that didn't take me to International Superstar?
Who can say?
We'll never know. We'll never know.
Who can say? The comedic fates are fickle.
You know, it's weird like that.
Hannah Gadsby took off that year, though.
My year?
No, it was the year that we did There Will Be LOL. That was the year she took off.
Thank you.
We are old.
Oh, yeah. Please. How old? Yeah. We're so old. I go out tonight to stand-up nights, and A, there's vets who came up with me. That's fair enough. I'm old. But then there's people who have... peaked and fallen in the time I've been
away.
Not that I've been away, just in the time I've been around.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we've given it up, we've had our high life, and they've had shows and gone. And like, then retired in the time we've been doing stand up. Yeah,
it's a long game.
Yeah.
It's not for a short term.
I'm still doing amateur 5-minute nights.
It's alright. So are all of them.
Yeah, but Yeah. They're sort of doing it towards the end of the uni. And for money.
Outrageous.
I went to see Imperial on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Because Imperial has on Tuesday. Wednesday,
yeah, Tuesday.
Pro nights.
Mm-hmm.
Met, the lineup was incredible.
Yeah, of course.
Schuster, Xavier Michelides. I don't remember everyone, but they're all amazing. Headlined by CPAC.
Yeah.
I took Muzzy with me.
Mm-hmm.
We had a great time. It was really cool. But it was just so funny because, you know, I know most of them. So, and Muzzy doesn't really, like, only knows me sort of,
post, or
towards the end. And they're all coming up to say hey to me.
Yeah.
It must be like, wow, you were something back in the day. I was like, yeah.
Could have been somebody.
I was kind of something back in the day. These people know me.
Just like that.
It's fine. And at the very least, I'm someone who could have been something because there's people who could never have been anything.
Yeah, that's true.
So at least I'm somewhere that I was in the area.
You live in your potentialities.
That's right. Like, you know, if in college basketball,
mm-hmm.
there's, you know, 5 to 10 guys.
Mm.
There's the guys who get drafted and go on to be bosses.
Mm-hmm.
That's not me. There's the guys who just go on to work at a fish shop in their local, you know. Mm-hmm. That's not me. I'm the guy who got drafted, but didn't get any games and then went to Europe. And yeah. Yeah, played for some crappy teams. Yeah. And now he's like commentating college basketball.
Right.
Like this is me commentating college basketball.
Pretty accurate.
So it's better than the guy who just went and worked in the fish shop.
Yeah, fuck that guy. He's earning a living.
But, you know, it's not the superstars. I'm happy.
Marty, middle of the road.
Could have been somebody, but ended up being just an alright dude.
Could have been a contender. Adder. That's your next.
Yeah,
you have to put another hour together.
Could have been a contender.
Could have been a contender. Magnesium.
Could have been a colander.
Could have been a colander.
Because in reality, I could have been a colander.
Your theory is full of holes.
Overalls? Could have been a colander.
Could have.
So, do we have some funniness to present the people?
We do.
After all this, whatever we've been doing.
It's a bit of...
Preamble?
Yeah, a bit of preamble.
It has been recording.
Eels.
Yeah.
Eels. Right. It's fine. You can pause it.
That's fine.
He's not going anyway.
Huh?
He's not going
anywhere. Yeah, no. I just thought I'd pop out, so. Right. While you did whatever you were doing.
Oh, it's all queued up. I queued it all up before. So cool. It should be working fine. Who would you like to begin with?
Is it two a piece?
We're going to do two.
And I said, what were my two? No, because I know the Bernie one, but what was the second one?
That's right, we'll start with Bernie.
Okay. Oh, did you not tee up the second one for me?
It's teed up.
Oh, it is. Oh, what is it?
There it is. That's
three. Ah, okay. Yeah. We'll do Bernie first.
Yeah. All right. Talk the people through it.
Oh. Just an iconic, like, for me, the most iconic bit of stand-up of all time. But that's in my world. Like, in my world, this is the bit of stand-up. Like, this is where you meet someone out. In my world, you meet someone out. I say, I do stand-up. And they go, oh, you know that Bernie Mac bit? Like, that's just the bit.
It's, yep.
And generally with things that are that iconic, maybe it's overrated, whatever. But this is so not. Every time I watch it, it's so amazing. So, this is Bernie Mac. I don't know what year it's from. Does it say what year it's from?
No.
But it's from
it's
back old. In the 90s, and it's from Def Jam Comedy.
Yeah, you can tell by his shirt that it's from the 90s.
He would have worn an overalls with that. And it's from Def Jam Comedy.
I ain't scared of you motherfuckers. I'm going to tell you something straight off the motherfucking press. I ain't coming for no foolishness. And New York, goddamn it, y'all motherfucking women look good. Y'all like a bacon and egg sandwich look good. But I love sex. I love it. Can't do shit no more. And I'm blessed. I'm big boned. I'm heavy structure. I'm hung low. If I pull my shit out, this whole room get dark. Kick it! You don't understand. I ain't scared of you motherfuckers. I love sex, man. I love it by the pound. I'd be glad when they put that shit in cans. Can you imagine sex in cans? Motherfuckers be shoplifting and shit. Folks be playing ball, man. Tell me what you get ready to do, man. I'm tired. Give me a six-pack of pussy. I'm going in. Kick it! You don't understand. I ain't scared of you motherfuckers. Women just do anything till you talk to any kind of way you want to talk to somebody. It don't make no more fucking sense. I'm in a bar minding my business, cooling out, just being cool, like I am, chilling. Woman gonna come to me, then she just ask any goddamn thing she want to do. She said, Mac, I said, yeah, that's my name. She said, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah. She says, does pussy taste like pumpkin pie? Made me mad as hell. I said, don't ask me no damn question like that. I ain't never had no pumpkin pie. Kick it! You don't understand. Yo, chill. Tired of this shit. I ain't scared of you motherfuckers. When you make love to a black woman, I'm gonna tell you how you do it. You got to be good. I'm not talking about myself. Cause you know a fuck ain't number 50 pumps. Count it if you ain't got nothing to do. It ain't number 5 minutes, but the foreplay make it seem longer. But you get a woman, black woman, man, I'm gonna tell you something. I don't care how meek that woman is, how soft-spoken she is. If you're giving her the dick, whatever wrong with you, she gonna let you know. You can have a patch on your eye, your leg could be broke. If you get up there, she'll be like, woo! Shit. You patch-eyed motherfucker. You broke leg, son of a bitch. You know you ain't this motherfucker. Kick it! You don't understand, goddamn. And you know what's funny when you make love to a woman and she on top and the phone ring, that's some funny shit. When she on the phone ring, man, every time she, you know, the phone be ringing, ring, ring, you get cool and shit. Ring, baby, don't answer. Ring, I gotta answer. Ring, baby, don't answer. Ring, it might be a job. And every time, you know, she pick up the phone, start fiddle-faddling with, you know. When she pick it up, every time she try to talk, give her the dick. She'll be like, hey, hello. What? Oh, what I'm doing? This when you get it. What I'm doing? So none. But I love my black peoples. I'm gonna tell you something, but we gotta stop the violence. We gotta vote. Stop the violence and vote. Cause I did a show in Chicago. I mean that. Stop this violence. Out of Chicago, I did a show for Cook County Jail. And you know, over 40% of the brothers in jail for nothing. And they had a little survey, a little panel thing. We got to ask the inmates questions, you know. So I asked the inmate, I said, hey, my brother, what you in for? He said, nothing. Brothers got this thing about being a punk. What is a punk? I never did understand that for the sake of my life. He said, nothing. That's how long you in for? He said, ever? Now, you know, it's a long time. You take the four off that motherfucker. I said, said, man, I said, so what you in for? I ain't no punk. I didn't tell on my boy. I said, what, you in jail for another motherfucker? No, you ain't no punk. You a new fool. Cause I'd be damned if I served time for any of you motherfuckers. I'd be in court just like this. Judge be like, who are you? I'd be like, punk. Your Honor, he killed that motherfucker. Shot him in the head full time, kicked him in the face. I tried to call you, but the line was busy. I'm burning back, I'm out of here.
So, like, hideously politically correct all the way through.
Of course, yeah.
Like, just worst, wrong, but hilarious. And, like, iconic. And,
yeah, well, awesome. Iconic is probably the key there. It speaks to a certain period in stand up and in culture,
yeah.
And
yeah,
I mean, the Def Jam scene was very much institution.
Yeah,
so for anyone who's not aware of that, they should probably
get on Def Jam comedy. A little bit. Yeah, started the careers of a whole bunch of people. Chris Tucker started there, and Martin Lawrence used to host it, and it was pretty awesome.
Mm. Mm.
But yeah, that's funny. I forgot how not PC that was, but it was still pretty funny.
Yeah, no, there's some good moments.
It's really not about the jokes anyway. It's just about the vibe of the whole thing. The crowd's going off, the music, his supreme confidence and control of the situation.
Opening with telling them that he isn't scared of them.
Yeah, just his bravado and stuff. Yeah, amazing.
Strong opening bid. I'm going to follow you up with local comedian Michael Connell.
My boy.
Yep. We'll get one day on here.
Yeah.
And he's done a lot of work. He's around everywhere, just open for Weird Al on his Australian tour.
I did hear.
He did.
Say that again, Maddie.
Just open for Weird Al.
Michael Connell just opened for Weird Al Yankovic.
Weird Al on his Australian tour.
Yeah.
Well, at least the Melbourne portion of it. Yeah. I don't know about the rest.
Not sure actually. Yeah.
But still pretty amazing.
Pretty awesome.
Put in his due diligence and is paying off.
Tidbit of information.
Go on.
Nah, I won't do it. Yeah, he's a good boy and he did that. Yeah, he did it well. Yeah. I was going to give you it. I'll give you it to you off here. But right, that sweet. was awesome to see him do that. Yeah.
Cool. And this is. So he was a. For a brief while there, he was one of the segment producers, hosts, one of the co-hosts of Live on Bowen.
Yeah.
And this is one of the bits that he put together. No. Simon Taylor was the main host.
Oh, okay.
And there was sort of a couple of co-hosts. Okay. Yeah. So this is one of the bits that he did from that. I think it's a good bit. I think it's quite funny. Well researched. It's called, what's the link between comedy and depression?
There's a stereotype about comedians that all comedians are depressed. Right? People love this idea. Like, oh, it's Tears of the Clown. Oh, he's laughing on the outside, crying on the inside. Like, that's what people love to hear. That's the stereotype about comedians. Like, oh, he's a comedian. Oh, he's depressed. Oh, he's a cop. He's a maverick, but he gets results. That's what people think, right? But I just think comedians aren't more depressed than anyone else. I just think it's more acceptable for comedians to talk about depression. Do you know? Like, if you come to a comedy show, and a comedian comes out like, hey, I'm on antidepressants. You know, I can't see the point of it all anymore. People go, ooh, he's a tortured artist. Ooh, he's very creative. But if you get on a plane, the pilot comes on, psh, I'm on antidepressants. I can't see the point anymore. People don't think that's so funny. Right? This is the thing, depression is a very common disease, right? One in four people will experience depression in their lifetime, right? But everyone's going, oh, a lot of comedians, they have depression. No, a lot of everyone has depression, right? Me, myself, right? I went through a period of depression a couple of years ago, and it was terrible, because it made me like a hipster of sadness. Do you know what I mean? Because I would go to comedy nights, there'd be other comedians on, they'd go, oh, I'm depressed. I'd be sitting there going, I was sad before it was cool. You know, like that, like this guy stealing my thing. Like that's my thing, mental illness. It also made me a terrible person, is what it did, right? But this is the thing, right? I bought into that whole stereotype because a lot of famous comedians have had depression, you know, Bill Hicks and all that. And I thought, yeah, depression, it's going to make me like Bill Hicks. It's going to make me really insightful and artistic. No, it just makes you really sad. That's all it does. But I thought that was what it was. You know, that's like that was the symptoms of depression. You know, trouble sleeping, lack of energy, edgy political comedy. That's what I was coming down with. Like, couldn't sleep, couldn't eat, couldn't stop going to open mic nights, telling people how the world really works. That's what I was coming down with. And I thought, you know, I thought, well, probably I'm a comedian because my life has been tougher than average. You know, I got bullied a lot in high school, right? And I talked to other comedians and their lives were tougher than average. You know, so it sort of makes sense. But then I think, you know who else's life has been tougher than average? Half of everyone. That's what average means. That's literally 50% of the population, right? And it's true because even though something bad happened to me in the past, that doesn't mean I have to be sad now, right? Right? Because if that was true, no one would ever be happy about anything ever, right? Like you'd be going, oh, people would be going around like, oh, happy birthday, I got you a present. Oh, thanks, this has really cheered me up. But World War II happened. I can't be happy about this. You know, congratulations, you've won $1 million. Oh, this has been the greatest day of my life. But meteorites killed the dinosaurs. I can no longer experience joy. You know? It makes no sense. Like, this is the thing. Having depression doesn't mean you're a good comedian. There's just no, anyone can get depression. There's no link. But people go, ooh, you know, he's got depression. He must be a good comedian. That's like going, ooh, he's got the flu. Must be great at guitar. Right? Like, literally, I remember reading an article about a millionaire who got depression. And I was really annoyed. I was like, what? This guy can't be depressed. He's never told a joke in his life. Who let this guy into the club? Right? It's terrible. So look, the point is, it's just a stereotype. Please stop spreading it around, because it's making me sad.
Hey, thanks for watching. Now what you need to do is sign up for my newsletter. Just go to michaelconnell.com.au and put your details into the sign-up box. Sign up today and you'll instantly get a free copy of my first comedy CD. Plus, you'll start receiving my monthly newsletter. It'll give you a sneak peek at stuff I'm working on, free tickets to my comedy shows, access to videos and articles I don't post anywhere else, plus a whole heap of other fun stuff. So do it. Go to michaelconnell.com.au and sign up for the newsletter now.
Mickey Connell.
Yeah.
Do you know how early we were on Mickey Connell?
Yeah.
Do you remember how early
we
were?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Man, I just saw him and I was like, this guy's hilarious. The first time I saw him was he used to do the thing about his lips.
Yeah.
Being like double D breasticles. He probably still does that bit. It's classic.
I haven't seen him do it for a while, but I haven't seen him perform for a while. He's been like interstate a little bit.
We're talking like 11, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And We used to put him on a comedy latte a lot and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, so we love him.
Because he is a great man and he has a great mind.
Yeah, we love him.
Friend of the comedy scene. I think everyone
likes him. Not a bad word. Mm. Yeah, no one's got a bad word to say about me. Mm. Yeah, cool dude.
Very cool dude. Cool. I mean, I don't really have much more to say.
Yeah.
Get him in at some point.
Yeah.
He'll have hopefully more to say
live
about himself.
Maybe or something.
Yeah. If he's up for it.
Yeah.
If he's, I assume he's doing a show. I mean, I'd like to get people in who are doing shows so
they
can pimp their show. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, if he's not, I'd still like to have him in.
That's true.
Yeah. But I'll maybe try and get on that. Shoot him a message, see how he feels. If he doesn't come, it doesn't mean he rejected us.
No.
I might just have forgotten.
Yeah.
But.
Or he's an absolute Arsenal
jerk. What a jerk. Cool. All right. So we'll go into your second bit.
Yeah. Refresh me?
Refresh you.
What is it again? Ah, yeah, of course. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
You can tell what zone I was in when you asked me.
Absolutely, yeah. There's a very strict...
All right, so what am I going to say? Yet another iconic African-American hip-hop laced stand-up bit. I do a podcast called The Hotcast. This is a hip-hop podcast, if anyone wants to check that out. Yeah, obviously, it goes with my overalls.
For the overall theme?
It's called The Government Hates Rap.
Yep.
By the eminent... I don't know if that's a word, but let's go with that.
It's a word.
I don't know if it fits here, though. But let's go with the eminent Chris Rock. Very, very funny.
Now, I'm 39, right? And I still love rap music. I love rap music, man. You know, I love it. But I'm tired of defending it. Because you got to defend rap music, man. Because people always go, that's not music. That's not art. That's garbage. How can you listen to that garbage? How can you listen to that trash? And in the old days, it was easy to defend rap music. It was easy to defend it on an intellectual level. You could break it down intellectually why Grandmaster Flash was art, why Run DMC was art, why Houdini was art and music. You can break it down intellectually, okay? And I love all the rappers today, but it's hard to defend this shit. It's hard, man. It's hard to defend I got hoes in different area codes. It's hard to defend move, bitch, get out the way. Well, as you can see, there's a bitch in his way that he needs to move. Thus the term, move bitch, get out the way. You need to open your eyes so you can get the bitches out of your way. My favorite song right now is Impossible to Defend. It's impossible. We should all be ashamed of ourselves for liking this fucking song. Lil Jon. You know that shit. To the window, to the wall. To the sweat drip from my balls. To the sweat drip from my balls. Skeet, 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 skeet. And you know what's real wild? You go to a club, you see girls dancing that shit, loving it. To the sweat drip from my balls. To the sweat drip from my balls. To the sweat, to the sweat. Just wrapped it from my balls, of my balls, skeet, skeet, of my balls, skeet, skeet. Just wet, my balls, my balls. You know what's wrong? I feel sorry for the guys that gotta pick a wife out of this bunch. Daddy, where'd you meet mommy? Oh, she was singing about balls at a club. Skeet, skeet, skeet. That's why people always say rap music is misogynistic and it's degrading to women. But what I realize, man, is women that like rap don't give a fuck. Women that like rap don't care what they saying. If the beat's all right, she will dance all night. Women don't give a fuck. The nastier, the better. I see girls on the floor dancing into the nastiest shit ever made. Just on the floor, like smack her with a dick, smack her with a dick. Smack her with a dick, smack her with a dick. Smack her with a dick, smack her with a dick. Smack her with a dick, smack her with a dick. I put a dick in the air, a dick in the air. Dick in the air, dick in the air. Fuck her in the eye, fuck her in the eye. Fuck her in the eye, fuck her in the eye. Blind the bitch, blind the bitch, blind the bitch. And you know what's wild? If you mention to a woman that the song is disgusting and misogynistic, they all give you the same answer. He ain't talk about me. Smack her with a dick, smack her with a dick. Smack her with a dick, smack her with a dick. I put a dick in the air, dick in the air. He said your name. No, he didn't. Smack her with a dick, smack her with a dick. Smack her with a dick, smack her with a dick. Love rap music. Tired of defending it, man. And it's well with rap music, man, because people either love it or hate it. Even the United States government hates rap. The government hates rap. You know why I say that? Because they don't arrest anybody that kills rappers. They don't got no clues, no suspects. They don't have shit when it's a dead rapper. They don't fill out a police report. They don't even have a chalk line when it's a dead rapper. Shit, if you want to get away with murder, all you got to do is shoot somebody in the head and put a demo tape in their pocket. This is a rap killing. Let's go home. The government hates rap, man. Look at all these dead rappers, man. Biggie Smalls, Jam Master Jay, Tupac Shakur. Yo, Tupac was gunned down on the Las Vegas Strip after a Mike Tyson fight. Now, how many witnesses do you need to see some shit before you arrest somebody? Shit. More people saw Tupac get shot than the last episode of Seinfeld. And you know what's fucked up? Every year, Tupac comes back from the dead, records a new album with clues in it. Every record got a clue if you listen real hard. The brother in the red shot me dead right there. Track four. Pac is trying to tell us something. Listen again. It was a nigga named Kevin with a Mac-11 right there. Pac is reaching out to us. Listen. The government hates rap, man. And only rappers get gunned down like this. I tell you right now, if Billy Joel, Elton John, and David Bowie got shot, they'd have Bruce Springsteen's house surrounded. The government hates rap. And only the good rappers are dead. Only the good ones. Biggie dead. Tupac dead. Vanilla Ice still alive. The government hates rap. You mean to tell me they can find Saddam Hussein in a fucking hole, but you can't tell me who shot Tupac? Shit. They found Saddam Hussein in fucking Iraq. Tupac got shot in Vegas. Tupac in Vegas. Not on no side street. The motherfucker got shot on the strip. In front of Circus. Damn. It's all fucked up. The whole world's fucked up.
No.
Well, you can't.
Yeah,
the whole special
cast. Yeah, play. Yeah. Sorry, and he blends so much that it's really all one big bit. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much the crux of it. Yeah. So good, so good.
Such a great
and bit. And hits home for me because you know hip hop like lovers are just like, it's fucking right. What the fuck's that shit? Like, we're just like, and on the not this. Like, there's multiple versions. Like, there's two versions of this special. There must be, like, a truncated one for HBO or whatever. And then there's the proper one. Because then there's a bit about Biggie getting shot. And he doesn't do that there. He was about to segue into something else. I've never heard that. It's about Biggie being shot. He's like, Biggie weighed over 300 pounds when he got shot.
Don't do the voice.
I'm doing the voice. I don't give a shit. Biggie weighed over 300 pounds. No, Biggie weighed over 300 pounds when he got shot. And so he's talking about how there was some reloading going on with this. A bullet had to hit another bullet to push it all the way in. And you're telling me no one saw that? Yeah, so he does this bit about Biggie.
I've never heard that.
He does a bit about
bit.
Vanilla Ice. He's like, Vanilla Ice still alive. Well, he might mention that then. Yeah, but so yeah. And Jam Master Jay. And he does a bit about Jam Master Jay. The three guys he mentions at the top, he goes into it. He does about Jam Master Jay. It's like, the guy took the elevator up to the floor, shot him, recorded a demo tape and left, and no one saw anything. Like, yeah. But yeah, so good. So, yeah, huh. I love it. And, you know, Chris Rock's a huge, obviously, hip-hop fan.
Yeah.
And top five
was
brilliant
yeah.
and laced with the whole thing was top five rappers.
It was all about yeah.
Very close to my heart because both of those are relevant to my interests.
You speak to my interests? And I would like to subscribe to your magazine. Yeah. No, I can understand that. That's in terms of the melding of those two worlds.
Yeah.
Aside from going to someone like Doc Brown.
Yeah.
That's as close as you're going to get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him, Burris does it a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah.
And Bernie Mac and people like that.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, that's pretty funny. Now, there's also, sorry,
no,
on the melding of the two worlds.
Is, yeah.
I just saw a photo the other day of, you know, that famous scene. Oh, I think it's the closing credits scene of the Seinfeld episode of Not That There's Anything Wrong With That.
Mm-hmm.
And so the still is of them, him and George, with their hands in the air, like, mm-hmm. Not there's anything mm-hmm. wrong with that. And then there's a famous image of Aaliyah, sort of with her hands in the air like this, like yep. a similar pose. And someone's put them all in the same image. Oh, and it looks like she's on set with them. Like, it's like and I was like, oh, Seinfeld and hip hop all in one.
I'll have to Google that after you're done recording. I'd amazing. Like to see that. That's great. Now, this last one, I picked specifically because I knew you'd be here.
Okay.
So the I don't know if you know him. The dude's name is Bert Kreischer. I was hoping you would say no. Bert Kreischer. He is the inspiration for Van Wilder. They did a Rolling Stone article about him. And the film is based on his, like, life at college.
But he's a stand-up.
He's a stand-up now. And okay. he's, like, a touring, performing,
okay.
quite funny stand-up.
But he was what? Just a
he's just, like, party dude. Kid? Okay. Yeah, just okay. a party dude. Okay. He's got some good stand-up bits. There's a fun bit about how he was traveling with... so he accidentally got into a Russian class. He was trying to do Spanish. He accidentally got into Russian. Couldn't... They promised him a C average if he just stayed because they needed the numbers.
Okay.
Then went to Russia on a trip with the class and he gets involved with the Russian mafia.
Oh, what?
Yeah. And the story is amazing. Okay. I'm not going to play it, but it's a great bit that people should listen to.
Yeah.
And his nickname from that, because of that, is The Machine.
Oh, Jesus.
He gets known as The Machine.
Yeah, right.
It's a great story, but this particular bit I'm going to play. He's a good stand-up, but some of the examples that are easily accessible aren't... I don't know that they show off his abilities as well as his storytelling.
Yeah, right.
So I'm going to play a bit from his This Is Not Happening.
Okay.
He used to have a TV show called Hurt Burt.
Hurt Burt?
Okay. Yeah. And this is a... The story is called Fights a Bear or something like that. Yeah, Burt Kreischer fighting a bear.
Okay.
The theme for this... This Is Not Happening is battles.
Thank you, everybody. On this show, here's what happens. It's a bunch of comics telling true stories, and that's all it is. This next comic is a really, really good friend of mine. The Machine, Mr. Bert Kreischer, everybody. Let him hear.
I fought a bear one time. I know it sounds as ridiculous to me as it does to you, but I used to have a show called Hurt Burt. It was on FX. And I used to take new men's dangerous jobs. Every week it was a brand new guy and I took his dangerous job. So you can imagine the excitement I got when I had when I got a call one morning and they said, hey, do you want to fight a bear? I was like, who does that for a living? And they're like, you do on Thursday. So I show up on set and it's a real grizzly bear. It is a 9-foot bear sitting on a park bench just... A vacant look, and it as dumb as you think a bear would look. Just... So I walk up, I'm 28 years old, I don't know any better. I stick my hand in front of his nose so he can get my scent. And the trainer loses his shit. He goes, what are you doing? I was like, he's getting my scent. He goes, this is a grizzly bear, not a labradoodle. He goes, that's not how we do it. We have protocol around here. I said, okay, what am I supposed to do? He goes, take these. And he hands me 5 marshmallows. He goes, when the bear's not looking, take a marshmallow, put it in your mouth. Then, discreetly, walk in front of the bear, just casually, show him the marshmallow like, huh? And allow the bear the opportunity to engage you. He needs to engage you and take the marshmallow out of your mouth with his mouth. This way, he'll learn to trust you. And I was like, fuck that. Who thought of this? The bear? Is this the bear's idea? He's like, hey, buddy, this is how we do it. And my whole television crew is behind him like, this is how we do it. It's my second TV show ever. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm 28 and I want, so I'm like, all right, I don't care, I'll do it. So I take 5 marshmallows, I hide behind the bear, and like David Blaine, I whip one into my mouth. Then nonchalantly walk in front of the bear like a street hooker, like, oh, 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 oh. And the bear goes from vacant to excited, just, and I'm going, and he starts jumping, just, and I'm going, and he rushes me and tongues it out of my mouth. Tongues it. Bears never brush their teeth. I'm making out with a homeless person 5 times in a row. Just, and I'm like, We get done, and the trainer goes, fantastic, we're ready. I go, hold on, I haven't learned anything. He goes, are you kidding me? Learn the most important lesson of the day, and that is, the bear likes marshmallows. I go, what's that mean for me? He goes, listen, if you get in trouble, just very confidently say, marshmallow. And what will happen is the bear will hear that, and he'll give you some space to do your marshmallow trick, but we'll hear it, we'll know you're in trouble, and we'll get you out of there. That's your safe word. And I was like, yeah, but he thinks they're inside me. He's like, you'll be fine. Let's go. And the bear, I swear, and I know you're going to go, bullshit. The bear was smiling. He was, he's got that look in his face like, I know how to get marshmallows around here, bitch. And he runs up to me, and I can't express it perfectly. It's like being in a car crash. The most helpless I've ever felt, he grabs me by the ears, both paws, lifts me off the ground effortlessly, and starts trying to shake marshmallows out of my ass. Just, and I'm going, marshmallow, marshmallow, marshmallow. But no one can hear me because there's a 9-foot grizzly bear going. All of a sudden, he drops me. And that is at the moment that I thought I was going to die. He lets go. And I'm like, thank God. Then his fingernail grabbed my belt loop. Just snagged it. And he spun me doggy style. And locked on in a bear hug. Just grinding gently on my ass. Just now we're both facing the same direction. I'm looking at the crew, the trainer going, marshmallow, marshmallow, marshmallow. Everyone's laughing except for the trainer, who looks panicked. He waves and catches eyes with me and goes, go limp. I'm like, please be talking to me right now. And not, is there a bear cock climbing up my jeans? About the split center seam, just marshmallow. So I go limp. I go limp. Now it looks like I'm getting date raped by a bear. Just. I slide out of his paws, land on my back, and that's the last thing I remember because apparently his instincts took over and he sat on my face. My wife, who I had been dating for 3 months at the time. I had invited her to the set so I could impress her. My wife's not afraid of big animals at all. She goes over to the bag of marshmallows, grabs a marshmallow, puts it in her mouth, stands by my feet and goes, huh. The bear then takes his balls out of my mouth, walks over to her, they pull the bear to one side, her to the other, they drag me under a tree, and I wake up in the lap of my producer, Tim Scott. I open my eyes, I look at Tim, and it's the first thing I see, and I was like, what happened? He's like, well, you got raped and teabagged by a bear. I don't want to get tested. And he's like, but that chick, that Leanne chick, I think she saved your life. And I look over, and my wife, at that moment, is coming running over to me, and it's like, it's out of a movie, and I know you're gonna go, really? Is this how this fucking happened? Well, it's my narrative, okay? She leans in, her head blocks the sun. There is a halo from the Lord himself, or herself, I don't care. And she is staring down at me, and she says to me in her southern accent, are you okay? And I look back at her with the sun caressing her face. And I knew without a doubt, in that instant, at that very moment, you're like, really? That's when you knew? Yeah, that's when I knew. I would have never done that for her. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys. That's a nice, nice chick ending. That's nice. He's cool.
He's great. Yeah.
Cool storyteller.
He's good fun. He's got great energy. And obviously a life of interesting stories because he's had some bizarre backgrounds. But he's a great performer. He did a great dissection of his first album, but with Ari. So Ari Shaffir.
Yeah.
So he's been doing this thing with comedians where they go track by track and they dissect the track and they talk about it. And they're really interesting. They're long.
On what? On Ari's thing?
On, Skeptic Cake.
Oh, okay.
But they're quite good to listen to when you can find them.
Okay.
But he did one with Bert, the first album that Crusher put out. And they were both sort of like, this is not a good album.
Yeah.
And then they broke down.
That's bad. That's funny. Who's Ari's mate?
He has many.
Gomez? Is there someone?
You may have Gomez.
Robert Gomez?
Maybe. Someone's listening to this is screaming at us.
Yeah, right. Okay. But yeah, I'd like to see one of those with him because he's a funny guy.
Sure. Yeah. I'm sure there's one. There's a couple of seasons of That's This cool. Is Not Happening.
Oh, no. The
breakdown. The breakdown. Yeah. The album breakdown.
Yeah. But that's fine. Yeah. I was expecting more Ryan Reynolds. You pumped it up.
That's his background.
That's true. That's awesome.
That's who he is.
That's mad.
The inspiration.
That's
based on a true man.
Yeah.
They prettied him up a little.
Yeah. They went, hey, Ryan, do what you've been doing on Two Girls in a Pizza Place, but on this show.
But over here. This long form movie that's built around you.
Bare sun on his face. Oh, also interesting that his wife is Jack McBriar. Yeah, the Are You Okay Lady.
No.
Sounds like Jack McBriar. You know Jack McBriar?
No.
I think I'm Jack McBriar. The date from 30 Rock.
I haven't really watched much 30 Rock.
Then he's from...
Oh, Jack. As in, what's the TV show he's in at the moment?
The Insult Dog.
Triumph.
The Insult Dog. Yeah. I think it's just called
Jack and Triumph.
Jack and Triumph.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Jack and Triumph.
You know Jack?
I do. Yeah. Well,
that's
I do,
how
actually.
He sounds. He just did Jack. Are you okay?
Generic Southern
Bell. Yeah. But for whatever reason, Jack sounds like that.
Blanche Dubois.
Yeah. Cool. We only did 2 each.
Yeah, 2 each. That's as far as we need to go for this one.
Cool.
I feel like we landed in a good place.
Yeah.
Some fun discussion.
Some fun discussion. Some fun bits.
Some fun bits, yeah.
We plugged our show.
We did plug our show, which I will probably do in the intro or outro again.
We spoke nicely about people that we're buttering up to come on our
show. You will never hear this.
You will never hear this. But maybe people who know them will hear it.
Maybe. Maybe.
We plugged my hot cast.
We did.
There's 3 episodes out. Oh, God, please help me. Sorry. And this is that's good. You're doing. When's your. This won't be out by then. But
not unless I work hard on it.
But your gig is what? This coming Thursday?
Yeah.
Not 2 days from now?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 2 days from this day?
Yeah, not when you hear.
No. But I'll lock it down a few more and I'll. Try and just get myself planted for this year. It's been a slow start.
I haven't done anything. Like, I haven't done a podcast or anything. Yeah. I moved all my equipment for my birthday because the podcast equipment is also just my DJ equipment. So I moved all that. And I just really haven't made stuff to put it back and re-plugging everything in and the levels and everything. I'm like, oh, God, because it took me so long to get the levels right the first time.
So much work.
So, but we'll do a podcast soon. Once I could tie someone down too, because
guess gonna give him a safe word first.
Nah, Shades of Grey.
Shades of Grey. That's a terrible safe word.
50 Shades of Grey. Paul Giamatti.
That'd do it. That'd
do it. Paul Giamatti's my safe word.
That's just fair. And on that note, we can probably call it.
Ended on podcast. That.
Yeah.
Ended on Paul Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti.
Safe
Paul Giamatti.
So that's my conversation with Marty. No guest this week, as I mentioned at the top. There were some technical difficulties. We are ourselves, as was mentioned in the episode, running a comedy festival event in Melbourne, and you should come down and see us. We'll be doing a live version of the podcast with different guests every episode. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's happening at Luna Park on Friday nights in the festival at about 8:30. All the details will be going online soon, but you should definitely come out, buy some tickets, send us a message to tell us that you're coming. Anything. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know that there would be an audience for our guests. That would be fantastic. And we're gonna fade out with a newer track in the sort of hip hop family. A track that I've been really enjoying the album. It's called Run the Jewels 2. It's a collaboration. And it's just high energy and insanely fun. The track is called Lie, Cheat, Steal. Get around it. Come see us at the festival. It's going to be great.
Smoke from the Lucy drip, hold it like a crucifix. Blow from the nose, I'm a dragon to a gnome. Got an average of being excellent, the median just dope. Like the ratio of heroin, the laxative of soul. Authorities are spoken, a man of the pure devotion. Get magnetized to the ground while the falcons of murder closing. I chose to go guano, y'all know kind of bad shit. The bright lights of fuckery stalking me automatic. A teabag of piranha tank, heart barely beating, a wild one. I swim like the wreck the after he's eating. We're holding a toaster up. And it's plugged with a fork in it. Cause death by electrocution's like life in New York, in it. Should've been a dentist. Mom said it pains the way that my craft expresses. Born in a little shop of horrors, I can't even afford to rent it. Where's the exit? Wanna talk shop, I can chop it up with Exacto Touch. What's the rush? Autograph skin flash. Tag them up. I don't bragging up, you they back toe suck. Hey. I am new to the alpha duck, the milieu. Kinda like, fuck is you. I'm a little back spot on the sound of lies, and I'm not too high to say I'm the truth. I line the booth to cast blood like a pavement. Nathan's sacred, I'll make some playpen. True runner bitch, make the name stick. Not for sale, but I'm taking payment. Bye. I'm fly as a Pegasus, that's no embellishment. I'm here to paint the whole game, whether it's set or in. Good pussy, good marijuana, that be my medicine. And I'm a mixture of MJG and the revenue. A revolutionary banging on my adversaries. And I love Dr. King, but violence might be necessary. Cause when you live on MLK and it gets very scary, you might have to pull your AK, send one to the cemetery. We overwork, underpaid, and we underprivileged. They love us, why? Because we feed the village. You really made it or just became a prisoner of privilege. You willing to share that information that you've been given? Like, who really run this? Like, who really run that man that say he run this? Who really run that man that say he run this? Run this? Like, who really fun this? Like, who really fun? Who say he fun this? Like, who in the world gonna tell Dustin who to put on the UK come list? Now, don't be sitting. Who the fuck gonna bully me if I got a billy? If I got a billy and a bitch recording me, I'm like, who cares? But I wouldn't be his own TV, stuttering, talking scared. So the question is, when Dawg's at home, that trade ass bitch alone. Who's that voice on the side of the phone that shakes and rattles his bone? Could it be the man behind the man behind the man behind the throne?